This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper, and I'm speaking with Jeff Lindhout. Jeff is the president of Valley Power Sweep. They are located in Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada, which is about 100 kilometers east of Vancouver, British Columbia, and Valley Power Sweep is the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for August 2011. Jeff, I understand that you purchased the company in 1998, but you didn't get all that much in the transaction. If you would, talk about the company, how you got started, and where you brought it today.
Okay, well, we purchased the company in 1998, in November. At that time, it was what you call the lean years. The economy had gone down. If that was the right thing to do, I don't know. I took a gamble, and so far it's paid off. We started off with just the one sweeper and a one-ton truck and a tilt-deck trailer. And we included into that some power washing for our customers that we had at the time. Then we started doing some parkade and warehouse scrubbing. Got an older used machine. Started off with that, and we upgraded our equipment as we were able to. Today, we've got three Swartz sweepers. Air vacuum sweepers.
Are they the parking lot, the 340 series, or what are they?
I've got one 348 with a front-mounted windrow broom, which is good for some of the construction and sites. And then I've got two A4000s that we use on the parking lots and construction sites as well. We have over 250 clients that we deal with. We have two 8410 tenant sweeper scrubbers and two 5700 battery-operated walk-behind scrubbers, along with trailers. We've got three one-tons that we are mobile with the power washing, and we use those as well for the scrubbing in the parkades. We have them modified and lowered so that we can get into parkades because of their low restrictions. So that makes our work a lot easier than pulling hoses all the time. We just fill up the tanks with water, drive along, do our pressure wash, and then the scrubbers come in behind and do the final cleanup.
That sounds like a good system.
Yes, it is. A lot of people have seen our system, and a lot of people have adapted their systems to match ours to be more efficient in getting their parkades clean.
Well, cleanliness, I know, is a big thing for the generalized Vancouver area and British Columbia as a whole. It really is a beautiful, very clean province.
Yes.
How do sweepers stack up in terms of winter cleanup? You're coming in the spring and you're doing it with 340 series. I understand the value of a windrow broom in that situation, because you know, you're talking about having as part of your market area clear up to Whistler, which people will recognize from the Olympic Games, but it's a lot of snow, which means a lot of material put down for traction and so forth. How do you accomplish that?
Well, in Vancouver, it's not so much used for, they don't use a whole lot of sand in the city of Vancouver itself. Their snow season is much different. You know, they'll get a snowfall and it'll melt, within a couple hours or sometimes a couple days.
Right, because it's so close to the water.
Their temperatures vary so much. But once you get into areas like Whistler, where we do about 4 to 5 weeks a year of sweeping, and areas, towards the east of Vancouver, like Chilliwack, where we have the biting winds at minus 10 and minus 12, with the east winds coming in, getting the temperatures down to about minus 19, 20 at times. They use a lot of sand there as well, and it can be pretty heavy in places at times, so it just breaks it up. The customer, when they call, they want a clean parking lot, and you can get the loose stuff off the surface, but then you still got some of the compacted material underneath. And that's where we use the windrow broom to break that up and be able to suck it up.
So is that the primary use of the windrow broom, or are there other applications that you use it for?
We use it mostly for any built-up material, mud or dirt, tough debris that doesn't want to come off the surface. And at times, we getting to sites and locations where they just want, like for instance, on a road somewhere, they just want it cleaned up, pushed off to the side, then we'll do that work with the windrow broom as well.
Well, I think a windrow broom, much like a magnet, is underutilized by many contractors for sweeping. I think there's an application for both a front-mounted magnet and a windrow broom on occasion that can be sold to the clientele. That's a great example, as it turns out, where I live on the rural two-lane road that I live in northwest Washington State, about an hour and a half south of you. There isn't a curb and gutter, and so the only sweeper we get is a windrow broom a couple times a year, and that's a good service to be able to sell. Edges get gravel and that sort of debris on them, which is really tough on, especially on bicycle riders and walkers. So that's a service that certainly can be sold, and the windrow broom on a construction site can be just a very valuable object as well, as I'm sure you've realized.
Oh, that's right. You know, the vacuum itself on the sweeper will just pick up any of this material. And sure, you have your gutter brooms that can help you out with some of the compact material. But with the windrow broom on the front, you can make a pattern as to how you want to clean up that yard or that lot and just sweep it off to the sides. But don't forget, you know, when we use the windrow broom, we also have the head down. We're also vacuuming up whatever has been broken loose from the surface as well.
Well, it sounds like that's a very good system, certainly for some different places. How many employees do you have, and is there anything different about having employees in Canada rather than the way it operates in the United States, or you may not even know that?
At the time, I've got 5 employees, plus myself and my office staff of 2, which are part-time. That's what we have right now. But 3 years ago, when everything was in the high, we had upwards of 10 employees and 5 sweeper trucks running at that time.
Are employees tough to get in the Canadian marketplace? Have you been seeing the downturn there, which, higher unemployment, so that usually means there's more people available to work? Or is it tough getting good people? I know that many contractors in the United States cite getting good people as their biggest challenge.
That's the biggest challenge. You want people that are somewhat mechanically inclined, because if you got a truck a long ways off, 100 kilometers away or 50, 60 kilometers away, you don't want to have to run out there all the time if something happens to, you know, go wrong. If there's a glitch or something that they can, over the phone, know an engine, and over the phone they can, you know, just figure it out on their own and do what they have to do to fix that. Especially in the sweeping industry, where you have a very diverse time schedule. It could be early in the morning, it could be late at night, it could be split shifts, it could be a whole day shift, it could be a whole night shift. It's very difficult to get the right type of person that can handle different shifts like that. It's the service industry, sure, you do have your regular base clientele which you can schedule. But being in the service industry, and especially dealing with contractors in the construction industry, they call you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because they need a sweep because they made the road dirty. But they already knew about this 3 days ago. They were doing this job, and with the cell phones and technology nowadays, it's all last-minute calls. You know, how come you're not here yet? It's 4 o'clock. I called you. You know, I'm calling you now. I need a sweeper. You should have been here an hour ago. You run across that so much, as if you're supposed to read everybody's mind and be there before they call. It's very tough to schedule, as you have trucks on scheduled runs, and you have to kind of pull them off to go help a customer that deems it an emergency on his part because of his lack of planning.
That's always a challenge. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And, most of the time you try to accommodate the customer as much as you can. There's sometimes you say, well, I'm just sorry that, you know, I can't help you out there because 10 minutes notice is not enough, as their trucks are on other sites, and they get a little upset. But you know what? They learn from that lesson and they give you more time next time.
Well, that's the thing, is if you have it available, then you certainly go there. But customers need to understand, too, that if you have a lot of idle sweepers sitting around, you have to charge a higher price. So that education process can be difficult. What is the situation for stormwater runoff pollution? Are there government mandates about the amount of material that can run off into waterways and so forth. I know there are a lot of pristine waterways in British Columbia. Is that something that you have an equivalent of the United States Environmental Protection Agency making stormwater runoff requirements?
We do have like the environmental agency up here at Environment Canada. And the cities themselves are getting on board, too. It used to be that if the contractors were making, they would send out their own trucks to clean it up. But they've got enough work on their own streets and their own projects to worry about that. They give them a warning and tell them they have to call a sweeper. If they don't do it, then they'll go out and do it themselves and charge them, you know, probably more money than what we would charge them, definitely. It's getting more and more to that where they're getting on the cases of contractors and such to get their messes cleaned up. You see more and more of it now than you did in the last, you know, I would say 5-6 years.
And are they requiring that a sweeper be on a construction site, like is required in some states, some of the states in the U.S.?
No, they don't go that far that you have to have a sweeper on site at all times. They don't do that. That's not required as of yet. But the contractors, they get their warnings that, you know, if they don't get their messes cleaned up, they're going to be shut down. With the city saying that to the contractors, they'll wake up and get a sweeper in, you know, two times a day, say, you know, once at lunchtime and then the next one in around 4 o'clock at the end of the day when they're shut down.
They don't want to see track out of a job site and that kind of thing, mud being tracked out onto the roadway. And
I don't mind some of it as long as it gets swept up at the end of the day, but if it gets really excessive, then they start clamping down on that.
And how about parking lot sweeping in general? Are the businesses, the malls, strip malls, is everybody sweep in British Columbia like they do pretty much in America?
No, not everybody does. What I can say is those that care for what their business looks like and want to attract clients, those are the ones that will be on a regular routine. I see some parking lots that I won't even go into the store because the way the parking lot looks itself, very filthy, very dirty. And, you know, if that's what it looks like on the outside, what does it look like on the inside? What kind of product are you buying? You know, whether it be bag product from across the country or produce or anything like that. It's not mandated that they have to do it. It's everybody's, you know, free will if they want to do it or not.
So there's not a widespread belief to have a sweeper there to make sure that it's clean. What are people doing? Are they sending employees out to pick up and tidy up?
Yeah, some will send out employees to pick up the garbage and such. But the garbage, just picking up garbage doesn't do it. You get weeds that are growing up against the curbs and the sidewalks. You get the build up in the corners, which of course is always there because the wind blows it there, right? And quite often landscapers will take care of their property. If it's small enough, they'll just hit it with backpack blowers and clean it off. But that's still, with doing that, you're just not doing the full search, right? Because with the vacuum sweepers, you can get the material and the particulates out of the asphalt, which would run into the drains if that wasn't there.
Well, are there any particular tips or tricks that you've learned in your over a decade in the business that you think works, ways to work with customers or work with employees or gain employees? I'll leave it wide open to you.
I can't say too much on my tips and my tricks because I've told other people about them and they use them against us because they're starting doing the same thing as we're doing now. It cuts into our business, right? Competition is good, but you can't tell the competition everything.
That's right. You don't want to give away the farm. There's no question there.
No. What we do is, all I can say is we built our business on being straight, honest, being there on time, always having communication with the customer, you know, doing good work. If there's a problem, I do know of other contractors that will leave the problem and hope it goes away, but we will take care of the problem, whatever issue is, you know. For instance, if we did a job and it wasn't to their satisfaction, and, you know, you can have variables against you with weather and people parking in the parking lot so you can't do certain areas, we will take care of those issues right away at our earliest convenience. And I'm saying if there's an issue somewhere, within a week, 2 weeks, we've got the issue resolved with any customer.
Well, that's exactly the kind of thing you need to do. And to refer back a little bit further back in our conversation, one of the things that you talked about was when people don't give you enough lead time and you don't have equipment available and you have to say no. And I think that's a very important aspect to remember, is to not hope that somebody will get done early enough so that you can get out there and not be too late so that you can pick up another contract. But sometimes you just have to say no and tell them when you could change the, under what parameters you could change the answer to yes. But you simply need to decline, and whether that's for being able to be there on time to keep your reputation for timeliness intact, or working at a particular price that doesn't make sense to work at, you just have to say no. How is pricing there? Have you seen an erosion of margins in the last 5 years, say, or is it about the same?
Sometimes you hear something the competition does, but I don't follow this. I charge my hourly rates, my minimum rates, my hourly rates, my travel. I will not make any special deals with anybody due to the fact that I've done that once before and got burnt, where you make a deal with one client and he tells his buddy about it. Well, you know, okay, this is the kind of deal I got for him because he was in the area, or, you know, all different circumstances could, you know, create a deal. And then his buddy says, well, you gave so-and-so a deal. How come I'm paying full price?
Well, and that's one of those situations where I think that's very good advice, because they, of course, forget that they got a deal because you were in the area, or, you know, whatever that lowered your costs. They just remember that they got a deal, or they don't even remember that they got a deal. They just,
that's
somebody
right.
says, how much did you pay? And you tell them, and now they think they should have that as well. So, and it is very difficult to.
I know it's down south, you know, I read a lot, you know, like your guys' newsletters and such too, where you heard of, you know, USM and Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Very good example. You know, they're asking all the contractors for deals. You know, being in the parking lot for $25, $50, or $75. You know, I made one comment on Supermarket Magazine, the bulletin there, when they were talking about it. And, you know, guys, stick to your gun. They're going to run out of these people. They're going to run out of people to, you know, work for them for $50 an hour. Don't do it. You know, everybody knows their costs on equipment. They know their maintenance. They know their operational costs. They know their purchase price. They have to set a price. They have to stick to that price. Because Walmart doesn't care, or nobody else cares, if you're not making money. They're just worried about their own bottom line, which everybody should be worried about on their own operation. If you can't do it for $75, don't do it for $75. If it costs you $95 to do the job and you've got to still make a profit, charge $105. Because eventually, those kind of, you know, corporations will run out of people to do work for them, and then they will be stuck paying the high price. And then, right often, they'll come to the first person that they talk to that said, no, I won't do it for $75, because $95 is my rate.
That's very good advice. It's important to remember that although you may love your work and love your business, the fact is you'd be doing something else if you had
That's
no need
right.
for
if
money.
You ain't going to fix your prices, you know, keep your prices up there, you ain't going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be around very long.
That's very good advice. Is there anything else that we should talk about in terms of Valley Power Sweep or the market area you serve? Certainly a beautiful area that you live in. I know that makes it a joy to live there, certainly in the summer anyway, and in the winter for those who ski. Are you able to keep busy enough in the winter to stay operational, or do you have to take time off?
No, we stay operational all winter long. We provide snow removal in the winter for our clients, and we take care of, I would say, about 60 lots in total. Last season I had upwards of 20 pieces of equipment working for us. We have our own trucks with the sanders on it, because they're pretty versatile and they can move from site to site fairly quickly. It's just that we keep contractors on, owner-operators with bobcats, with skid steers, backhoes and loaders, and a couple plow trucks. Last year we also started with the anti-icing program on our government lots and some of our banks, and that is really chucking off. People are starting to understand to get the material on the roads before the snow hits, and it just keeps the snow from freezing onto the surface. That anti-icing product acts as a barrier between the asphalt and the snow or freezing rain, whatever we're going to have. And it's those two things. It makes it very easy to plow off because you don't have an ice buildup after traffic's been on it. And the small snowfalls, you know, with a little accumulation, melt right away, and it doesn't ice up on it.
That makes good sense. And it's another service that you can add in to sell to your client base. So that makes sense, too. Keep them from going elsewhere for that.
That's right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add in before we finish up?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much got it covered.
Well, I very much appreciate it. It's always fun branching out to have a featured contractor that's not in the United States. I think this is the first one for the British Columbia province. I think we had one further east one time. It's much appreciated, and I enjoyed looking at your website. It has those mountains that we see once in a while as part of the header, and it's a very pretty sight. We've been speaking with Jeff Lindhout, the president and owner of Valley Power Sweep. They're located in the Chilliwack area of British Columbia. They were our August 2011 Contractor of the Month here at World Sweeper. Thanks again, Jeff.
You're welcome.